This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and very knowledgeable boys. You have myself, Tommy Dasilo. You have
Ben Vanel. Hey, Tommy. It's great to be here. Also, sitting on the couch, as always.
It's Adam Knox and whatever disease I'm carrying.
Yes. So you think
Hello,
disease,
it's me.
You think the disease might become sentient and start contributing to the podcast?
I already have, and I've already contributed more than that Adam cunt ever did.
Wow. This disease is working blue.
Yeah. I'm kind of one of them shuck juck diseases.
Great. Is this Kevin Bloody Wilson's disease?
I'm Kyle Kevin, Sandalades.
Kevin Bloody Stool Wilson.
Yeah. Virus Kyle Sandalands.
I was listening to Kyle Sandalands in the Uber on the way here.
Now let's reference a blue comedian or performer who's not specifically Australian. Papa Smurf.
Nah. He is blue.
He does work pretty blue. Mm. That would have been cool if like Papa Smurf was just like real bawdy. You know what I mean? All the rest of them are really sweet and nice.
Yeah.
And then just their head honcho is just a real cunt.
Oh, Gargamel, more like gargle my balls, you dipshit.
Papa Dangerfield.
So yes, you are under the weather.
Yeah,
you wanted to issue an apology to the listeners in advance
for the sound of it. I know that sometimes when I'm listening to a sick person, I start to feel sick. Well, with all my charity work that I do down at the
coal mine?
Yeah, the sick heart. What are they called? Dots. Hospital.
I have to say, so far, you have perhaps the most respectful approach to being sick I've ever seen. You didn't even want to go and get yourself a glass of water because you were worried that you were going to germify Ben's entire kitchen.
Yeah. Well, I hate getting sick, and I also know that I blame whoever I think got me sick.
No, I'm saying it's good. Like, I've spent time, you know, going to the state library to do a bit of work, and man, there just is just no one has any respect for the bounds of viruses in there. Just people hacking and coughing away.
Oof. I accidentally coughed into a bowl of muffins, though, on Monday.
Well, okay. But that's all it takes.
Yeah.
So you may as well not worry about it.
Well, because I turned away and, like, tried to cover my but I was wearing a suit and I wasn't used to how this suit moved.
Yeah.
And my arm didn't bend in the way that it normally would in this suit. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
How did the court case go?
Really, really badly.
Yes.
The good side lost. You know what I mean? What I'm getting towards.
Is that how you got sick? Your punishment was to be infected with influenza?
Yeah, the judge just came up to me and poured a beaker on me. It was like that green thing with red dots in it, like in cartoons.
Yep. Oh, yep. Yes. I know what you're talking about. I just kind of think that just being in the presence of someone who's ill, like I've already accepted, as soon as you messaged today and said I'm ill, I just made peace with it. I'm going to catch what Adam has. So it's I think you worrying about like touching a mug, it's like just your presence is the worst part of this.
This is
perfect
timing.
And I say
that
even if you weren't sick.
For you to get sick now as well, this is exactly the right time of the year.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Really good stuff. So we have a few things to talk about. One thing we should address is that when people are listening to this, there will have been sometime in the past, 10 hours ago if you listen to this hot off the presses, but if not, a Nintendo Direct.
Yes.
Which when we're recording this is tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
So this is weird because I kind of want to sit here and speculate with you guys, but by the time anyone hears it, it's just going to sound fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it'll just all be, everything will be fact by then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do we want to, how do we do this? Ugh. We've never really been in this, we've recorded and then had stuff come up.
Yeah.
But we've never had, because we take 24 hours between recording and uploading now, this is the first time we've been in this position.
Yeah.
I wish they'd have shown more of the Nintendo franchise that I like that hasn't been around for a while.
Yeah.
Which one's that?
The one that wasn't in the in the direct.
The one that they didn't show?
Yeah. I thought that date that they read out was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good time of year.
Sooner than expected, but not really soon.
Also, the nude patch for Mario Odyssey looks pretty cool.
Also, I think it's safe to say, a shame that Virtual Console wasn't mentioned.
I hope they don't call it Virtual Console when they do bring out the new one. And this may be what this is about.
Yes,
but sure. I hope they don't call it Virtual Console.
I reckon they definitely will because they've stuck with it for two iterations.
It sounds so old-fashioned, and I think they want to move away from the Wii thing as much as they can.
Possibly.
They'll probably call it the classic library or something. They've been going with the classic theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And that would be more indicative of what it is, of what's the speculation is pointing to anyway.
It's crazy that they announced the classic library.
Yeah, I don't... It's going... It will have gone for 45 minutes. Yep. And I, previous to when you're listening to this 24 hours ago, did not think that there would be anything big and new announced.
Right.
I think it's just going to be... Sorry, I used to think that it was going to be just dates of stuff because the whole back end of the year is all this stuff that Zelda DLC, Xenoblade, Fire Emblem.
And then Mario.
And then Mario. Mario's like the only thing that has a date.
DX.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, there's so much stuff that they've said is the end of the year that doesn't have a date yet.
Yeah, right.
Is what I would have said 24 hours ago.
Yes.
But now we know all that.
It's Metroid Prime 4 is out now.
Mm, 45 minutes, though.
Yeah,
that was a long one.
Yeah,
and I think we can all agree they
really
used up every second of it.
I mean, 20 minutes of it was just a dancing Pikachu. I couldn't think of anything better. It's the sickness.
I honestly thought you were going to say a dancing something, and boy, did you come through!
Hey man, dancing Pikachu, 20 minutes.
Actually, a dancing Ghost of Iwata.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, though, I mean, I'm looking, in all seriousness, I'm looking forward to getting up tomorrow and watching it. Those things are always fun. I really like the way that they do these announcements. They don't always pan out, and they don't always have exactly what you want in them. Mm. But I like having the, you know, knowing the time, and they only give like a couple of days notice and going, all right, cool, it's 45 minutes, tune in, like kind of planning like my morning around that and going, all right, make sure I'm up. And
it makes them seem fun and spontaneous.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I wonder if that's like a conscious thing of them to be like, well, yeah, we're a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it also means that you're not like, you know, because their approach to E3 has been, you know, sort of very different in the last couple of years, where it's not just like this one time of year where you sort of never know when you could just get an announcement of like, hey, this is happening, like, which I think is pretty interesting. But yeah, I just reckon it's going to be dates and amiibo functionality of Odyssey and just a whole bunch of little features that we don't know yet.
But I'm not holding my breath. Who cares, because it's already happened.
I know, but hey, I'm just trying to have a conversation with my friends back here in the past, guys.
I don't reckon they will go into Afghanistan. I don't think it's likely to happen.
So yeah, apologies for that, but hey, we'll be back here next week with all the up-to-date hot takes that you could possibly handle.
Yep. Because as all our listeners like to hear us do is talk about Nintendo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we will come through on that promise next week.
Yeah. I mean, people probably furious now that there's not more Nintendo speculative talk.
Yeah.
And follow-up chatter.
And just appreciative
episode.
That we've talked for almost 10 minutes about something that we don't know anything about, but is still Nintendo-related.
So L.A. Noire was announced this week as coming to the... Well, it's like coming to everything, isn't it? Switch being the one that, I guess, got the most press.
Like
because it's
PC, I think. PS4. Or was it already on the PC?
No, it was on PC. Yeah, I played it on PC as well as PS3.
It's weird, man. Like,
it's such a weird... It came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Very strange announcement.
Yeah. It's got to be something to do with that original company that made it that Rockstar took over, right?
Yep. Team Bondi.
They must have some sort of... This is speculative, but I reckon what's likely is that they had some way of making the wheels on this start to turn and some financial reward that they would get from that.
You think them? See, I think that it's more likely that their stake expired.
Possibly.
And Rockstar just went, oh, we can make all the money from selling this.
Yeah.
Let's just adapt it for the current platforms and get
Or something where they have to do something with it. Have to use the license every few years.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
It's got to be super simple, this, though, because otherwise you'd think...
It's so... I posted about it in our Patreon Facebook group, which, by the way, I forgot to plug that. We are now on Patreon.
Yep.
If you'd like to support this, whatever this has been so far, you can head over to our Patreon. You can find the links at...
need to buy drugs.
You can find the link at filthycasuals.com.au. We are going to start making video content once we hit a certain goal. Mm. We're going to do bonus episodes, all sorts of cool rewards that you can find out about. But the $5 tier is... access to a bonus Facebook group that we're all in, and it's been wonderful so far. Thank you, everyone who's in there contributing. But I kind of got in there and went, is this what, like, do people like this game? And you don't really hear too many, like, I didn't hear any kind of sentiment attached to this being announced other than people just going, it's happening. Like, Okami got announced today. That's coming out on... That's a game that people have a lot of affection for.
Yeah.
And you see the headlines about it, and that seeps in where you see people going, oh, fuck yeah, Okami's back.
Yeah.
And it's like an HD or it's a remaster or whatever it is.
Yeah.
This was just L.A. Noire's coming out. So it's a strange...
Did you play it, Nox?
Yeah, I didn't really like it very much.
That's the thing. It was a game where the aesthetic was great. The facial technology was quite advanced for its time.
Yeah.
And like there was a bunch of recognizable actors in it.
Yeah,
the writing was I don't know, like it was good. There was a lot attempted by it, but there was a lot of flaws. Like there were a lot of flaws.
Yeah, it wasn't a very fun game. Was the biggest flaw? It was just like a pretty straightforward detective story that wasn't that. Like I couldn't tell you anything about what the actual story was of
and
that.
You're not really doing anything in it, are you? Are you controlling the character? I always thought it was a bit like Telltale stuff.
You do a lot. It's the thing is, like, there were running around like gunplay aspects that were worse than the most recent GTA game. The driving was worse than the most recent GTA game at the time. There was a lot of that stuff, but none of it was really up to par or exciting.
And it
happened for brief moments as well.
Yes.
And seemed really odd and disjointed and forced. And like the main bit of it was you were talking to suspects in cases.
Totally. Yeah. You'd turn
and
up to a scene.
Their facial cues and stuff like that.
Yes.
Yeah, you had to catch them out on a lie.
Yeah. Which it should have been great. So it should have been the perfect detective game. It's something that I would really love to see done properly is like you turn up to a crime scene.
You've got to
go through all the evidence. You've got to talk to all the people, line up the stories, see who's lying and make a judgment and see if you're right.
Mm.
And that's what it was trying to do. It just didn't do it quite well enough.
There's a really good video I watched that someone from that group put me onto. Mm. I think it's called Game Maker's Toolkit.
Oh, yeah.
Is the YouTube channel, and it was about what makes a good detective game.
Oh, right. Well,
solve the mystery of whether I'm going to sneeze in a second. I'm scrunching my face up.
I'm studying your facial animations, and it looks like you're going to sneeze.
Anyway, that's worth watching if it had a bunch of detective games and stuff in it and good examples of what works and what doesn't.
A comment that was made by horny dad / online bully Andrew Levins in the group, which I've seen echoed, was you interrogate people and you feel like you're, you know, splitting the outcome so that it's going exactly in the direction that it's going in based on decisions you've made.
Sure.
And then there's a certain point where you realize none of that has mattered and you would have ended up in the same place regardless.
That's more of a, I think, like a very high level thing. Like in terms of the whole story and the progression, that is true.
Yeah.
Which I guess is like a Telltale game.
Yeah.
You could fuck stuff up on a smaller scale.
But it would just stop and start you again earlier. You'd just lose.
That's true. You'd fail to solve
the
case.
So you couldn't actually progress having done you couldn't split the story and fuck up and have to work your way around something. And then it would also have the problem of like your responses were like basically just truth, lie, or press, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, doubt, I think.
Doubt.
Yeah.
And
it just sounds boring.
It was well, and then you'd also, you'd doubt someone because in your head you'd be like, I don't know if I reckon, you know.
Yeah,
you're
I'm not
the full
sure
truth.
Yet. I'd like to get more information.
And so you'd hit
you're
doubt.
Pushing that button every time because you're like, I doubt this is very fun.
Well, then your character,
right now,
though.
I'm going to press the eject button, get this shitty disc out of my console. No.
You've made a snap judgment on this game you've not played.
But I think that's the truth.
The problem was that you'd press that button expecting, like, in your head being like, so are you telling me the whole truth about this? And he'd go, fucking you dead shit liar piece
yeah,
of shit.
Exactly. It should have, like, it was truth. So you're like, I believe you. Lie in that you would be like, I don't believe you. And doubt as in, I don't think I believe you. Right. Like,
but
that,
doubt would be like, I don't fucking think I believe you dog shit.
It would have the same effect as telling them that they were a liar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've also seen it said a couple of times that so this is, it's coming out as like a full release, like a physical retail copy. I've seen it said that this should not be in 2017 or whenever it's out, should not be a full priced.
No. Not if it's just a remaster, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Not, like even for the day I've seen people online kind of going, even then it was like, this isn't really.
I was pretty disappointed with it.
Yeah. They put a lot of eggs in the basket of, look how realistic the facial animations are.
Yeah.
You can really tell if they're lying or telling the truth. And all the other stuff was kind of like, we'll just do our best with it. And the core of it didn't measure up to what it should have been.
I think it might have come out maybe not long after I'd bought a PS3.
2011 it would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And being kind of, and seeing it and going like, oh yeah, Detective, this looks cool. Mm. And oh, it's, because it had the Rockstar branding on it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Thinking, oh okay, it's like GTA, but you're a detective, but then just at the time people being like,
And that was off the back of Red Dead too, which they've said plenty of times before how fucked the code for Red Dead was and how much of a miracle it was that it worked on 360 and PS3.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense that they've not brought that over, I guess.
It's so weird. I mean, there must be some reason underpinning it. Like, we were just speculating.
Just financial, probably. Yeah.
Red Dead 2's coming out, maybe.
If you can get something from that era working on Switch of all things.
Yeah.
Fucking, even one of the old GTAs, people would, you know, especially if you consider like it's a Nintendo audience that, you know, potentially has missed a generation of those games.
Yep.
Like, get San Andreas or something going on there. Like, you'd think people would be super into, but,
and, like, you know, the thing is, like, there's so much going for LA Noire, and I really like a lot about it that I'm going to get it.
Right,
I'm
really?
Just going to get it. Okay. I'm going to go again, and I'm going to wish that it's better than it is. Probably,
yeah.
I think I reacted to it negatively enough at the time that I'm going to not even not get it. I'm going to steal someone else's copy.
Oh, hell
and
yeah!
Throw it into
if you
a
get
ravine.
Caught, you're going to get interrogated.
Not with my lying skills. Watch this face.
Not with my.
I'm not lying, sir.
I don't think I fucking believe you.
It was the 40s, I guess. That's why he was always yelling at everyone.
Yeah,
that's the other thing I remember about it. Is it had this weird like war flashback stuff.
Totally.
In
he,
every...
he had like some PTSD shit going on from being in the war.
But I don't think that ever. Either that never went anywhere, or I never finished the game.
I think you just never finished the game. Yeah,
because if it's done and just good to go, like, yeah, it is a bit needlessly greedy.
Remaster everything, why not?
But it is a bit needlessly greedy to put it. Like, chuck it up on the eShop for a discount price.
Full
price
is crazy.
No one could fault. And then it's like, if you're not into it, you know, whatever. If you're on the fence, it's $30, give it a crack. But I think that's where a lot of people's problem with it lies.
Especially when, like, you're getting full-on, basically, remakes, like that Yakuza Kiwami, which is the first one. And Akami, I'm willing to bet, will be a cheaper price, too.
Yeah. Well, it is a time where, especially this year, I think we've seen a lot of, like, really good, like, kind of remakes and remasters. And it's kind of turned into a little bit of a, kind of an art all of its own of, like, how do you... you know, bring new people into it, satisfy people who've already had a go around. Like, I think the Cave Story one on the Switch is a great example of that. Sonic Mania, not technically a remake, but still kind of doing that. Like, you're living in a realm of that.
Yeah,
like,
the Crash one, which, like, looked so amazing while still just having the same gameplay.
Yeah, that's probably up there as one of the gold standards of it. Like,
I'll be
not
smacking out that
just...
the new Metroid. The
Metroid
remake. Yeah, I keep forgetting that's, like, a remake. But, like, the bar is, it's particularly in the last year, the bar has all of a sudden become extremely extremely high.
Totally.
Because I think it previously it was just easy enough where people just didn't have easy enough access. They were happy for it to just be like, well, here's the same game, but handling has improved. It like it takes these huge leaps and bounds that you have to do a little more. So we started talking last week about Destiny 2, which I think when we recorded had just come out. You'd played for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
You've now played more, Adam. And Ben, you've gone in. You're absolute madman.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we kind of didn't get to say much about it, but then there wasn't much it really to say, nor was there really many reviews or anything out last week.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll do mine because I've kind of probably just played what you'd played last time, Nox. I really love it. Mm. Like I really, really like it a lot.
And you loved number one as well.
I liked number one a lot. I loved the gameplay and accepted the shortcomings, which were many and varied. Like the story, the lack of any kind of real attempt at a narrative, any character. Like there was really none of that in the vanilla game.
Mm-hmm.
But really liked the gameplay. Felt like I was finally getting to play a Halo game in a way. I really never had been able, like I'd never owned an Xbox 360 or anything.
Right.
And I was like, oh fuck, these guys know how to make a shooter.
Yeah.
And so that was how I felt about Destiny 1, and I played it a lot, but not obsessively.
Yeah.
And 2, like it feels the same.
So just to, without like, I guess, a spoiler thing, whereabouts did you get yourself up to?
Essentially, I played through the big opening thing.
Yeah.
And then I got to the first kind of bit where you slow down and there's a bit of a hub and you start going off and doing missions.
Right.
And I've done a few missions.
Okay. So you wouldn't have gone to another planet yet?
No.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I've experienced basically this massive cinematic opening sequence, which I feel was done really, really well. It was really exciting. It was just all forward momentum.
Yeah.
Some, like, just stunning visuals, really good moments of, you know, like, massive space battles and you know, these huge vistas and also, like, the really small-scale stuff of these corridors and these, you know, mountains and these paths that were just so incredibly detailed and animated. All of that gameplay just feeling seamless.
Mm-hmm.
And then, getting to this next stage of like, okay, start getting into this loop of doing missions, meeting new characters, getting loot, leveling up, and still loving all of that.
Great.
And I just want to play it all the time have available to play it.
Yeah, right.
Like I said, I haven't really played a Halo game. I haven't played a campaign of a Halo game.
Mm.
But
so all the stuff that you felt was not quite getting you to 100% with Destiny 1 is in this.
It appears to be.
Yeah, it appears to be. Right.
And even if it doesn't get better than what it has been, if it just is like do some missions, get to another thing, have another cool sequence, do some – like and that continues and you know, I finish it in, you know, 18, 20 hours or whatever, I'll be satisfied.
Wow, great.
I really like
it. And so the whole thing of it, I don't quite get – how the whole thing of it being online works. Because you're saying there's like a campaign.
Yes.
But then how does other people being online and in it factor into that?
So in the campaign, there are sequences, I guess. I don't know if it's all the time, but there will be sequences where other players are around doing the missions while you're doing them.
Okay.
There's sort of like a passive co-op system going on, I guess.
Okay.
And that
outside of like the main story missions, which are basically levels, but unless you've gotten someone who you're friends with to be in it, then you'll be in your own little part.
Right.
But in those big open areas, it's people will just sort of show up like Journey or something a little bit. Where they'll just be there and there's no connecting to a lobby or whatever.
Right. And do you know, because I don't have like a headset or anything, in those instances, can you talk to people? Can you connect with them? And
that's a good question. I don't think you can.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that you don't hear any voice chat from people there.
Yeah.
But I may be wrong about that.
Maybe it's something you have to proactively switch on.
Yeah, which is not what I tend to do.
Totally. I don't – like that is about the extent of multiplayer I like to engage in.
Yeah.
It's to have someone pop up and do a co-op mission, never talk to them, and they just go off and play their game.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of all I've played and that's all I've been into – with
you
Destiny
don't like,
1.
You don't like chatting to people while you play games online? No. Live streaming yourself as you talk to people online?
Just
anything goes, man. Yeah. Just say whatever you want.
I just don't want to slip up in the heat of the moment.
It happens to everybody. Everybody has all of those words right at the tip of their tongue at all times.
Yeah.
And it takes all of your confidence and concentration to suppress them.
Yeah.
That's how a normal person is. Yeah. It doesn't suggest that you're terrible and don't deserve any of your money. And literally Disney has said, you cannot be associated with us because we are for children.
Okay, yeah. So context.
I fucked up during the week.
Internet curiosity PewDiePie, ugh, who is
internet
someone
curiosity is a good way of putting it.
Someone who I believe I have said on this show, what is he?
Yeah.
Like I don't get it.
Yeah.
But massively popular.
Yep.
Is he the most popular YouTuber?
Yeah,
I think
anything.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, he's got some like 57 million subscribers.
Yeah,
right. He's been in trouble in the past and been dropped from things for making like Holocaust jokes.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And like the particular tone of them was anti-Semitic. Was the idea?
Right.
So he was like live streaming himself. Playing online and
playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
And your favorite game. So in many ways, this guy literally
My favorite game, my favorite mentality.
He's just rolled out a casual N-bomb in the middle of I've watched
not Nintendo.
No.
Yes. I've watched the footage of it and I mean it goes without saying, but even it's worse than you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
Like it's very damning because he's tried to make it sound like he just was, you know, overcome in the heat of the moment and like it was this super frantic.
Yeah.
It's not. Like he says it so casually in this way that you know as soon as you hear it, you go, you say this all the time
when
cameras aren't on you.
Even if not.
Oh, sure.
How many times do you see someone like, you know, notice a piano is about to fall on them?
Yeah.
and just
suddenly go, oh, I guess I'm hateful now.
Yeah, totally.
And that's hope one of the white keys hits me.
like it's not even a real thing. It's not stubbing your toe or like,
yeah.
there's just no justification.
That's it. He's tried to appeal to sort of like the rationale of the common man and sort of turn it into this relatable thing.
Yeah.
But it's just this absolutely exclusive incident.
What's interesting is seeing the people who do relate to that idea, because it's them also going like, yeah, you know how in everyday life you have to suppress your urge to spew all these kind of words?
It's
That's
great.
Just normal. Everyone goes through it.
It is great. Him kind of trying
Not
to just like gaslight the whole world into believing that's all how we think.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
and then I guess I am brimming with rage. So now that he says it, I can sort of see how I am just thinking about that stuff all the time and just anything could set me off. So let's let him off the hook.
He replaces it. He goes afterwards. He's like, I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yes.
And he says like, I guess just asshole instead, which again, if those two words are equivalent in your head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're watching it and it's like, the bit after is almost worse because it's like, oh man, cut the chuck the headset off and go, you know, run away. Like.
Yeah. Oh no, my evil twin is here. How did you get on the stream?
Yeah.
That's not racist, is it, doing his accent?
Well, I was going to say, like, a lot of those kind of insular Nordic countries are a bit more racist than you.
Oh, wow.
We have the exact same problem in our little island country, as well.
Dude, you guys... Ben and Adam didn't mean what they were just saying. They stubbed their toes. They didn't mean to tee off about the
Nordic
countries.
Countries.
The Nordic
I think
countries.
It's almost worse.
The N-word.
It's fucking Nords.
Oh, you Nordic country.
It's worse that it's so casual for him.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a Nordic thing. I think that's an internet thing.
It rolls.
It's definitely an internet thing.
It rolls right off his... There's no moment of like...
Yeah.
God, it's just like so... Just calm as day.
Those cunts he hangs out with too.
Totally.
All those other YouTube people like iDubbbz and H3 and all of those people who
Jontron, he did a bad thing.
I don't think they were ever friends,
right?
Which I
Jontron did
know.
A whoopsie,
but he did all this same stuff.
Yeah,
and it's the same group of people. It's a bunch of fucking white dudes talking about video games. The worst.
super stupid. So he's already. So what's so he's been dropped by Disney?
That was earlier in the year,
right?
With all the,
but then what was the? There's been some immediate fallout of this.
He has other sponsors and advertisers who they've
some game developer cut him off.
Who
I saw.
Gives a shit? Honestly, like this dude, like.
Let's not say that after we've talked about it for 10 minutes.
Well,
let's commit to it.
Like, obviously, if it's worth talking about in the sense that this as an issue and as a problem is so pervasive, especially in gaming culture.
It's a shame because you can't just go, oh, this is one rogue fuckwit.
No,
it's a shame because this is representative of
absolutely.
It's not like
it is.
You know. If a radio presenter slips up and says something dumb, it's not like it's just well that guy's just a fuckhead. Not like everyone on radio thinks or acts like that. Whereas
he is the visible tip of this huge iceberg.
Yes.
That's always floating down there. And I don't know, man. Just don't be a shithead about that stuff.
I
just don't know if there's much more to say about something like that than this.
It's terrible. He's a bad person, and you shouldn't be like that or think it's cool.
With a guy like that, you do wonder, like, how, him being so big, will this affect it? Like, you know, he'll lose a couple of things, but at the end of the day,
but essentially,
that's the other thing is that if your fan base is thinks the same and doesn't care, well, then. How much can you really?
He's independent,
someone?
Basically.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah,
so.
Unless YouTube are like, no, you've breached our terms of whatever.
Which YouTube weirdly does with some things, which is another weird problem. But I don't know, man. It's kind of a separate thing to video games, luckily. It's more of a general media thing or new media.
Which,
type.
Well, it's an old media thing as well. Like, this isn't something that YouTube created.
We were
this
talking
is,
about Mel Gibson before.
But even, you know, conservative radio hosts, like it's been around forever. Mm. It's more of a like, fuck, isn't it a shame that a lot of people are bad?
Yeah.
But this is, I guess, a very specific.
And it is worth pointing
thing.
Out as well that, like, the like people, I know that people come back at this stuff with the argument of like, but he's not actually racist, you know, the idea of being actually racist,
right?
You have to punch a black dude to be racist,
right?
But there's a level of contributing to a racist society that does.
Oh, it's the normalization of using that word. It shouldn't be a casual word to toss off when you're angry.
Being ignorant enough to toss just off. Say it and think that it's okay,
is
still racist. Just because you're
absolutely
not a card carrying aware that you're doing it racist doesn't mean. In the same way that, you know.
And
way that at the moment in this country, we're about to, for our overseas listeners, we're about to have a postal vote on whether same-sex couples should be allowed to marry. And so the thing you're hearing a lot from the more elderly factions of the community is, I just believe in this strict idea of the sanctity
elderly.
Of marriage. Mm. And I'm not homophobic. I'm fine with people doing what they want. But and it's like, well, no, but
by proxy,
I'm sure you don't think you are.
Them.
But exactly, it's that same thing. It's like
that
just
argument,
because you're not overtly going, I am, doesn't mean that you're not still doing it by.
It's just
this
semantics argument as well. And like, if it helps you understand it more, you're displaying behavior that is homophobic or something.
You
don't have to be a racist or be a homophobe with your conception of what that means.
Yeah, your lack of a positive contribution is contributing to a bad state of affairs.
Anyway,
So I got confused. Is this all part of Destiny 2 or not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So this sounds
this
like a hell
why,
of a game.
This is why I like it less than the first one, personally.
So Adam, you were saying before that you think you've finished it or you've nearly finished it?
Towards the end of like the story stuff, is only a portion of
that's,
what the game
that's
is.
The thing. I'll say I'm loving what I'm experiencing so far. I know the campaign's not like heaps long, but I know that the main focus of this game is multiplayer.
Mm. Yeah,
proper multiplayer raids, getting together, getting a group together, and going. And coordinating your attacks,
throwing out every slur under the sun, just having a real time of it.
But watching numbers go up.
Watching numbers go up. Yeah. And that's not something that I'm interested in at all. I wasn't interested in it with Destiny 1.
Right.
And I'm not now. And I don't really care.
Right.
So Nox, you've played a lot more of this game than me.
Yeah. And I like everything about it. Except for the story, which I feel like is really, really poorly written.
Right.
The dialogue in particular. I don't like the world and the beats of it and whatever are fine. Just specifically the way the dialogue is written is terrible.
I don't agree from what I've experienced.
It gets worse from where you are. All like right. you
very
start
very convenient. Yeah,
you meet all these characters who are just the biggest cliches and speak in nothing but cliches.
Right,
as you go on in this like sub Joss Whedon kind of bantery dialogue that was just so grating for me has been really grating. Like, it's a lot of stuff of like, there's a portal there and someone will go, knock, knock.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And I will say that I've seen some discussion about this exact thing online and most people are
from
quite...
From Adam?
Yes. No, most people are like, yeah, it's good, it's fine. It's not bad.
Well, they're wrong about that because it is a lot of, like, it's the gentleman sniper and rogue AI who's a little bit wacky. Like, there's this AI. This is kind of a story spoiler, but it's not that big of one.
I'd prefer you didn't say it then.
Because I
like the story.
There's a shit character later on that is, and it's so full of like really grating cliche, which like if you can put up with that stuff, that's fine.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know, like, we talk about,
but it's like
writing...
it's fucking characters going like, okay, you know, like just that sort of fucking lame ass first draft. Same problem with Mass Effect Andromeda
but
type of dialogue.
But don't you think that that's kind of partly them just going like, this is the tone that we think our audience want.
Yeah,
like,
sick.
I don't think they've. I don't think they've necessarily failed or they haven't hit the mark, because if you buy into the world, that's the thing that's hardest to create.
Yeah.
So just the moment-to-moment dialogue, I agree there are some bits in some games, not that I've played this one specifically, that do irk me, but then you also kind of have to go, well, this is just kind of what the medium is. And do you think that's perhaps kind of like watching a sitcom and finding it annoying that the characters are all so snarky to each other, because that's just what a sitcom is?
No, it's more like watching a sitcom and it's a poorly written sitcom, like 2.5 Men or whatever, where you can see the writing process more than the character. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I know that this is not what you meant, but I specifically think that the dialogue in Destiny 2 is better than 2.5 Men.
Yeah, no, yes. I will probably back that up.
Which I was thinking like
some real heavy stances you're getting on record here. I'm not okay
sort of
with
shit.
The N-word, and I'm not a fan
but
of
you know
two
what?
And a half
like,
men.
It's not like, it's different in a way that a lot of it is just these rote fucking phrases. I wish I'd have written some down so that I could repeat some now. Like, it's that sort of stuff where it comes out of no, like, there's this character Cade who at one point says something about like, he's saying something where he's fuck, I can't remember what he says, but it annoyed me.
He said a bad thing. The reason why I decided to specifically compare it to 2.5 Men is what I was gonna say before that is that I agree that it's not up to the standard of a good sci-fi movie with good dialogue. It is still video game level, which is something that maybe I accept when I shouldn't, but I do agree with that. It's like there's actors from Firefly, and I love Firefly, and it's just not quite as good as Firefly.
And the acting is fine.
The acting is quite good.
All the voice actors are doing their best,
but yeah, I think
that's a thing where I just think anytime the dialogue kind of irks you in something, I think it's just more down to the people making it and what they've perceived as what
but
their audience wants.
It's nothing about the tone, though. It's not about it. I don't have a problem with the idea of humor being in it.
Mm.
It's that it's badly executed.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't care about the like if their audience wants humor, sick.
Yeah,
but like this is poorly done.
Yeah, but yeah, I think there probably are people out there that do like. I think that they're
yeah,
shooting.
Yeah, but that
for,
isn't a you know. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's fine. The quality of it isn't dictated. Like, quality isn't measured by the number of people who are okay with
but
it.
But it's a subjective thing. You can't objectively say the writing in this is bad. It just doesn't appeal to you.
Yeah,
there's probably someone in there out there who does find a knock knock joke at a portal legitimately funny.
I definitely like the reason that I again like said it's better than 2.5 Men is because like. It is. I feel like I would be able to identify.
That settles that.
I love this
because
just
it is.
I feel like I would be able to identify and, or personally, you know, be able to appreciate if it was shit. It's not shit. I know what shit writing is, and I don't think it's shit.
Keep going and see if you still think that.
Yeah, and maybe it will be grating, but I just don't know if that means it's bad.
Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we talked about The Lost Legacy, Uncharted, I was saying that it's always irked me in those games how they all the characters are written in the way their dialogue is just kind of smug and snarky in the exact same way.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just down to the other things that I read and consume, and it doesn't tickle me in that same way.
Yeah.
I don't think that means it's objectively bad, because there's plenty of people who probably... I don't think you can look at it and go, this is bad that the characters talk this way.
I think
it's a stylistic thing that they've chosen to make them all sound that way, that I just kind of wish they had done anything else.
The closest you could get to that I could get to saying that this is bad in any sort of objective way, which I agree, I don't think is possible, is that none of it is... original stuff. It's all cliche things that you would imagine.
And that's fair. And I think that that's probably the most fair comparison is to the Uncharted games where, like, I do consider it to be a flaw, but I don't think it's shit. I just think
they're just jerks in all the same way, but also these guys writing this aren't... I mean, again, like, yeah, I feel like we bring this sort of thing up all the time, but it's like, you know, they're like... there's writing in games that I think is excellent. Would it make a great movie? Would it make a great book? No, written down in book form, it would be terrible. But, you know, I think the writing in Mario Rabbids is great because it propels you and you immediately get the context of what's going on. You have drive. And in terms of you as a player, if you wrote that out on paper and that's all you were looking at, it would be it'd be fucking garbage.
Yeah.
But for the purposes of what you're meant to be doing... in that world, it does an excellent job.
Yeah. I feel like the Destiny 2 dialogue that I have a problem with, and it's specifically the comedic stuff, is poorest.
I also think this is down to, and I kind of have this a bit too.
Let him finish, Tom.
Okay, sorry.
He just started to make his point.
Okay, sorry.
No, I mean, I was probably spouting some bad dialogue in that.
I do wish this podcast was a bit funnier in the writing. It's been a bit dry, to be honest.
I don't know. I think we should just talk like how we normally do. I forgot what my fucking point was now.
Comedically.
Yes.
I forgot what me fucking point was now.
Okay.
There we go. We're all back. Right.
It was something about like how the way that the dialogue is presented to you is just as a little radio play in your ear, basically.
Yeah.
For the majority of it, which does make it stand out more because it's essentially just on a page.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also, it's not well written, I guess, was all that I was working towards. And so it just sticks out more because it seems so forced. It seems as though someone had a blank line in there and a little in asterisks put a funny line
in.
Okay.
You know what? Like, when I started playing the game, you encounter the Cade character quite quickly.
Yeah.
And I had heard... And you'd mentioned you weren't...
It's everyone as well, though. It's not just him.
But, and you'd kind of already mentioned to me that the writing you weren't a big fan of, and I'd heard... I played the first game. I'd gone in with low expectations, and I was a bit worried, and he starts talking, and he's very quippy, and he's very, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you know, side character.
Buffy fan fiction, though.
But then the whole experience of the game just... I just really warmed to it as a whole, and I didn't care.
Yeah.
And I became quite, you know, like, I came to like the characters, and I'm just on board with it, and I don't really mind.
Yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, what I was starting to say before when I cut in, before I was rudely interrupted for having cut in, was I also think a big part of it too, and all three of us would be guilty of this, you know, in assessing the quality of the humor of writing, we're all coming from a place where we write and perform comedy as our jobs. So, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to cast a more critical eye on it.
Yeah.
Like, we come at it from a place where we see a lot of comedy and we also work in comedy. So, of course, you're holding it up to a different standard. Whereas, you know, again, like, I love how much... 2.5 Men is a real touchstone for this for this game, but
it's good shorthand.
That's a massively popular show.
Yes.
Like, and I know that doesn't speak to pure quality.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, your man on the street doesn't, you know, doesn't consume stuff to the way we do, and some people that's enough. Some people that kind of that that style of stuff is that's just all they want.
Right. And every
they
line in
highfalutin,
that, yeah. They're trying to write a joke, and they're all, you know, shitty dick jokes, but every line is trying to be an actual joke that they've come up with.
Mm. Yeah.
Whereas this, it just feels like instead of writing jokes, all the characters like just go like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah. all that sort of sarcastic shit that just yeah. like, well, I guess we're doing this then. And it's all that sort of shit where like, oh, fuck off. You know?
And I guess to...
See, this sounds cool. Every time you impersonate, it just makes me want to like it more.
Yeah.
However, we have talked about this for a long time. I will say it's the thinnest little slice of frosting on the top.
Right.
Which like...
Frosting's a good thing though.
Yeah. Yeah. That we've now, it's and like it's... we've just taken half an hour to lick the frosting off. Yeah. Just really slowly.
But it's just a shame that they've clearly put some effort into trying to change that and it, I think right.
yeah.
short.
Yeah. Right. It is a bummer when there is just one little... you love everything else and there's yeah. just one little thing where you go, I wish this... tiny little thing was yeah. just different.
Yeah,
because the rest of the game is great.
Yeah.
The way it feels, same as Destiny 1, and it, like, I guess I literally mean same as Destiny 1.
Yeah.
Is a just a really good, solid foundation. And then all the other stuff that you're doing on top of it is so far improved off of the first game, where it is these sort of more open areas that you're doing more interesting things in. And the loading times are still really long.
Yeah, which I noticed that actually. Like, even within a contained single-player campaign mission, you'll walk down a hill and you'll shoot three things, and then you'll start to walk up another hill and it'll fade to black, and then it'll fade back in and you're at the top of the hill and you keep walking.
Just in the intro bit, really.
Okay, right.
Well. Yeah, that intro bit I didn't like as much as you as well because of that. It felt really jerky and...
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I felt like I just kind of like took it on as like a weird stylistic thing, like a movie or something. But I actually, like, specifically, I loved all of that stuff. Well, there was an enforced slow walk section that I didn't like. But
yeah. ten years ago, it seemed like we were going to hit a point where loading times will just...
Yeah.
Didn't it really seem like this will be a kink that eventually gets ironed out?
Yeah.
And somehow they just... They plateau a bit and then they go up and they dip again.
I think a lot of it has to do with it being constantly online, possibly.
But this is my point. I think we all thought that it'd be gone eventually. But we the never technology would've... changes and it's doing more.
You
so
always
it's like,
find
it needs to
new
load.
Stuff to trip over.
Totally, yeah.
Would you recommend it to anyone who has absolutely no familiarity with the first? Do you think you can...
Yeah.
It's just stands alone and it's just...
What I want to know from you, Nox, is it like a Halo game? Is the campaign comparable at all?
No.
Right.
There's... Yes.
Okay.
Whoa, we're back.
Give me 20 minutes and I'll figure this out. Well, so there are bits and pieces. It's closer to something like Borderlands, the game as a whole.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, right.
The shooting feels similar to Halo.
Yeah, okay.
But I think Halo, was a lot tighter in how few enemies it had and focusing on how those interacted with each other. And then also a lot more interesting in terms of the sort of set PC stuff and what you would end up doing.
Yeah, okay.
And Destiny 2 tries to do a couple of those things and they felt really flat for me because they were just really straightforward and easy and kind of not particularly creative.
Okay.
They did seem like they were ripped out of a Halo game, but then also kind of worse.
Right.
Those specific bits. But the core shooting is pretty similar to that sort of thing where it feels really good and tightly wound.
It's really strange because like I played Halo 1 4, 5, 6 times when it came out at a friend's house.
Yeah.
And the first time I played Destiny 1, I immediately was reminded of Halo. Like I'd not played any shooter like it since.
Yeah.
Until Destiny, I was like, fuck, it's the same. It feels the same.
The aiming,
it's crazy.
Specifically the aiming does, because there's a lot of auto aim to it and a lot of it will guide where you're looking without you really noticing.
Right.
To make it feel like you're a fucking crack shot.
Totally.
But you're absolutely
and
not.
How would you say that the campaign in Destiny 2 compares to Halo, the song by Beyonce?
I would say favorably, because that song I find to be repetitive.
Mm. Okay.
But Destiny 2 is also a bit repetitive.
Right.
Love on Top. Now, if you want to start talking to me about Love on Top.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Love on Top is as well written. That bit where Beyonce goes, knock, knock, is really lame. Justified all the dry chat with a good old callback.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that sounds cool. It sounds like there's not a heap more to say about it. Well, I guess you... Whoa, strap in.
There's a whole, I guess maybe you haven't played it, Nox, but the, specifically the multiplayer stuff.
Oh, yeah, the Crucible stuff.
It's a whole lot of...
I've played a bunch of that and it's really fun.
Yeah, sweet.
That's a big improvement somehow over the first game because, again, like most of this is really similar to the first
Incredibly similar, yeah.
But there's something that they've done, I think, it may be in the balancing of the weapons that has improved just, like, the how likely you are to just be fucking destroyed because someone has a better gun than you.
Yeah, right.
That is less likely.
Yeah, cool, right. Cool.
So... Yeah, the whole game, like, if you've not played Destiny 1, this is the one to start with if you're interested.
It's so similar in a lot of ways and just better.
Just better.
It kind of makes the first one defunct as well because it's so multiplayer focused that no one's going to be playing that first one now.
Yeah.
We should pause quickly to give you an ad.
Yes.
You good little boys and girls. You've sat here and waited patiently just wanting us to get to the branded content.
They're talking
about
too much video games.
So this week, Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Harry's. They are a... how do you describe it? A shaving company?
A razor company?
A razor company.
Yeah. They sell shaving products.
Yes.
They're now, a company that shaves.
Yeah. Adam, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen you with anything close to what I would call a... I've seen you shave
you have.
Once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the talk of the town.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I used to be clean shaven all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I turned four.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Ben, you shave regularly.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
I'm an office boy and you've got to have a clean old face.
Not true.
Well, I believe it to be true.
No, that's old fashioned thinking. You can have a neat beard.
You have to go in already having a neat beard.
Yes.
You can't grow a beard while you work in an office. That's a thing. Yes. Unless you can grow it over the weekend.
Yeah, if you come back with one, but it's always about the shape and the contour and if your face looks the correct shape, but if you've got strays everywhere.
Certain people can have a full beard and still look kind of refined and elegant.
Absolutely.
Some people just look like a bag of shit.
Yeah, they probably don't have Harry's razors to do their edging and stuff
very
like
good.
That. Yeah.
So Harry's razors are so confident that you're going to love their blades that they'll give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up at, am I getting this correct? harrys.com/filthycasuals.
That is correct.
All you pay for is the shipping.
Yeah.
And
that's the least you can do.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Yes.
What are you, your leech?
Your bloodsuckers.
So it's a $13 value that you get for free when you sign up. And your free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade.
I love that lube.
Now this sounds good. Rich lathering shave gel.
Oh, doesn't rich. That sound like a delightful experience?
Why do they put rich in there? Like, that's a flavor.
No, rich is a texture. I think of rich as a texture.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it can be both.
Like a rich cake is you bite into and you go, oh, that tastes like shaving gel.
And also a travel blade cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know?
That's so heavy.
On the go.
If you don't want anyone to know you've got a travel blade.
A touring comedian. That would be real handy, wouldn't it?
So, they've been kind enough to support the show this week. So if you need razors, why not head over there, harrys.com/filthycasuals, and get your free trial.
Yeah.
See how you go. What do you get to lose?
Yeah.
Well, the shipping cost. That's nothing.
But you're not losing that because you're gaining a product at the end of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also, like, outside of the trial, I recommend you continue to purchase their products. They're getting you the product for half price in terms of market value because they just operate online. It's not a shop.
Yes.
There's no weird delivery overheads and shit.
You're only allowed to shave half of your face. That's the payoff.
I'm going
to
shave half the bottom price. Half below my nose.
So, yeah, if you're busy, if you've run out of razors, if you've got a big party coming up where you think people are going to pass out drunk and want to shave off their hair or their beard or, God forbid, their pubes, head to harrys.com/filthycasuals and get your free trial today.
Yes. All the great blades at Harry's Razors.
Fantastic.
Very good.
Look up Harry's...
No.
For some reason, I was remembering him as actually that his gimmick was that he talked to the animals he was veterinarianing.
No, well, I mean, again, for the American listeners, there used to be a show on Channel 7 here called Talk to the Animals.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was just all about animals.
Well, no, it was just Harry's Practice.
No, Harry's Practice was a spin-off,
was
bro.
That afterwards?
Okay. Yeah. And then he was on Better Homes and Gardens as well, I think.
Yeah, Dr. Harry Cooper was the breakout star of Talk to the Animals.
Yeah.
And Harry's Practice was his spin-off.
So good.
Beloved television vet.
Yeah, back when vets didn't have to be handsome.
Yes,
kindly old bloke.
Yeah, even when he became big, he was an old ass man.
Yeah,
just a busted up old ass man.
Not as funny for the American listeners as Con the Fruiterer, but still an interesting tidbit from Australian TV history.
Now it's Bondi vet with his bloody square jaw.
Ugh.
Yeah, it looks like the Bonds man. Looks like a cartoon model, cartoon Adonis.
Yeah,
what does he know about animals other than pussies?
Nice. So we should talk about Ben. You finally also went in on the Mario Plus Rabbids Kingdom battle.
Yeah.
This week.
Yep.
What do you think?
I fucking love this game as well.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Again, like,
what's happened? What's going on? Because I never know which way you're going to go.
Yeah.
And I've been busting for you to have a crack at this.
Yeah.
Because I just desperately wanted to know what you were going to make of it.
Yeah.
Because I look at it, I go, it's all there.
Yeah.
But who knows which way this guy's going to go?
And with XCOM, it was a game where I tried it, I played it a bit, but I never got really into it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, coming into this, I was like, well, you know, I like Mario. I don't like him as much as some people, but, you know, I've got to keep my expectations low-ish.
Like, we'll go around there for dinner, I guess. Yeah. You know, he's fine. I just don't get why everyone seems to love him so much. He's just normal.
I love that. It's such a great, as much as some people, it's like, I love it a lot, but even I could say that. Like, I love Mario. I've never gotten a Mario doll, cut a hole in it, and fucked it. So, you know, I don't love Mario as much as some people.
All right. No one does seem to want to do that with Mario, though. It's always Sonic that people want to fuck.
Yeah.
What is it about him that makes him more, like, attractive to the kind of weird cartoon fetish community?
Well, he's a hedgehog.
And he's a bad boy.
No, I think it's the hedgehog factor.
If you take too long to fuck him, he starts tapping his foot.
I think it's the animal thing that kind of taps into the bronies and the furries kind of thing. Where it's like, you know, it's like... Mario, you're just fucking an Italian bloke.
Yeah.
Yuck.
All right, PewDiePie. I guess what I meant to say is I don't love Mario as much as Tommy.
Yes, there you go. I knew that's what you were getting at.
Yeah. But, it's really, really good. It takes that turn-based strategy game and makes it incredibly easy to get into, to continue to learn more from, to get better at.
I think that's been my problem with something like Fire Emblem in the past, where it throws so much at you early on that I just go, I am going to lose track of all this. And this, even though it is, the tutorial phase feels like it goes for a little while and you sort of get the sense that this game's really easy. But you just get kind of bedded in really nicely. Like,
and
you never feel overwhelmed.
Totally. But it doesn't remain easy. It gets much more challenging.
Oh, I've been stuck on the one bit for like 2 weeks. Brutal. Yeah.
I guess it's that Nintendo thing where they take a kind of game. They've done it with a lot of sports games and kind of ease you into it.
Yeah.
And like functionally, Mario Tennis isn't that different from like, I don't know, whatever the Power Shot, whatever those
Virtua
games were.
Virtua Tennis.
Yeah.
Virtua Tennis was a very arcadey thing too.
Right.
Yeah.
Top spin.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to. Yes. It's not, in the end, it's not that different.
No.
But because it eases you in and it's this fun little package, you get into it a bit easier. But yeah, I'm loving this. I love the look of it. If anything, I actually don't love the humor in this game, but I also don't care.
I am the same way.
Yeah.
The humor in this is.
I think the rabbits are kind of funny. You sometimes see them doing something where you're like, he's running in a circle forever. That's funny.
Yeah.
The one thing about it. The bits of humor in it to me just really point out, you know, like I don't think you would have played them, Ben, the Mario RPG games on like the 3DS and stuff.
No.
And like Paper Mario and stuff.
Yeah,
they have this genuinely great, I think, weird kind of humor in them that I get, that a lot of it probably stems from being translated from the Japanese. But it does have this kind of really nice, quirky little edge to it that you just really notice the shortcomings in this, trying to go, there's a rabbit in the toilet, and it's like, ugh.
I saw a screenshot from Paper Mario 2 that, like, this isn't super funny, but I thought it, like, it's a good indication of the tone of them, where it, like, I've forgotten about this, but it's in the second one, there's some like little dorky Goomba or something that you've chased. And he's like, oh, you're not going to beat me up because I'm a dork, are you? And you've got options of choosing like, of course I won't, or guess again, nerd. And like, it's just like, it's not super like, you know, but it's nice.
They just have such a rich kind of, and it's all a little offbeat and a little weird.
Yeah. Right.
And that's for me, that's the big shortcoming with this, is that they're trying to kind of be funny in it. And it really, for me, if you've played any of those other games, it really just reminds you, it's like, this isn't a patch on what they do.
But
when
it isn't, though. It's the Ubisoft Rabbids.
Sure. Right. I know that, but it's, it just comes back to me kind of wishing, I just wish this was in that world rather than this one.
Yeah,
who cares?
I think it's for me, it's all the dialogue of the dumb robot thing. Like, and it's not the sense of a Destiny 2 or an Uncharted where it's like, man, you just like writing these shitty, hacky, you know, quips and stuff. It's like they're trying to write jokes and they're just falling really flat. But apart from
that, there's a lot of like him referencing like the Baroque period and like there's like references to like French literature and stuff, and it's like, we get it, you're a European studio. It's kind of funny how there's all this stuff wedged in just to remind you, like, just so we're clear, the Japanese had nothing to do with this one. This is all us, baby.
Yeah,
I thought the robot was just trying to make himself seem smart.
I think it's a bit of that, but yeah.
But I guess
that,
it's just, from a European reference point.
It don't work, but everything else does. Like,
the humor in terms of like the animations and stuff, I think is great.
I agree.
Luigi dabbing, like it being a meme, is just like, it's so stupid, but like, and I should hate it, but it's fine. Like, it works, and
that's the portal knock knock joke of Mario plus Rabbids. Those things do work for me.
And as much as I still am not a fan of the Rabbids, just the little things that, like, Rabbit Luigi, when he runs into people and he does his little vamp thing where he steals their life, his little laugh that he does, I just find that so charming.
His little long sleeves,
wicked little,
puffing around.
I like the Rabbid noise as well. The
right.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah.
If I wasn't sick, I'd have nailed it.
I love how Rabbid Mario, and it's kind of weird when you really assess it. Like, so Mario as a character, he doesn't, apart from going like Mamma Mia and saying these kinds of phrases, he doesn't really
have
any kind of Italian sort of feel to him.
Yeah.
But then Rabbid Mario is kind of this real sort of like greaser, where he's always kind of like, he's like leaning against the, you know, when he's behind cover, he's kind of leaning against the wall and he's like chewing on a toothpick. Like, they've kind of,
I only just got up to Rabbid Mario.
Man, so, if you pay attention, it's really funny how they've decided to make the thing he's taken from Mario is just the real kind of Italian stereotype thing.
It's
that
John
Mario
Travolta.
Does not, he is, that Mario himself does not portray. Like,
it's Vinny Rabarino.
I bet there was fierce debate about whether to give him a little gold chain around the neck or not. Feels like he's inches away from having that. But yeah, I was saying this to you last night, and I don't think I've said this on the show, but like, the thing I'm really liking about the turn-based thing is in platformers and in anything else that's real-time, if I get up to a really hard bit, I start to feel like I'm never going to be able to finish this because my reflexes aren't quick enough. I just can't do it. But with this, it doesn't matter how many times you die in a turn-based thing, you know that you can always do it because it's just about planning out. It's just about planning out your course a bit a bit more logistically and a bit more. It's never like there's been bits in platformers where I'm at a boss where I go, I'm just literally never going to do this because I just can't make my character move fast enough. I'm just not equipped.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, no matter how many spankings I take, I'd still come crawling back for more like the bad little boy I am.
Oh, yes. A revelation, you'll find this to be a revelation, Tommy.
Mm.
I've been playing it mostly in handheld mode on the Switch,
which
I famously hate.
Yes,
but
famously.
It's just the right time of year. There's a lot of football to be watched.
It's the right time of year.
It is.
The birds are out and the tweeting, and that makes my hands very hungry.
I've had a lot to do at home on the TV, and it's just been the perfect companion to be able to sit there and be watching all these sporting matches that I kind of have to do for work.
Yeah.
And I just have the handheld and I'm just ripping through Rabbids, and it's just really fun.
This is not to leap too far forward. This is a huge chance of sneaking into my top five at the end of the year.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. I never would have thought it, but
yeah, fuck.
It's So good.
Yeah. And who would have thought that that's not a crazy call?
Yeah.
Like leading up to this, that, yeah, no one would have.
Heaps of discussion in, again, the Facebook group of people who've gone and gotten it. And,
yeah.
And yeah, absolutely loving it. Yeah. It's must have performed very well for them.
The only things that I could kind of like, and this is more would hope from a sequel, is competitive multiplayer.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that would be cool.
So it's there's only co-op.
There's only co-op. Right.
Yeah, that I'd be surprised if that didn't come in some form in DLC.
That would be cool. And also some kind of endless mode where it's like random battles and you go as far as you can. I would love to see something like
that. The challenges are really fun. So when you finish a world, you can go back and do there's little challenges that get you orbs and coins and stuff.
Right.
Love
and
orbs.
They're really, really fun, like, because they're all kind of... Some of them are just straight, like they're kind of all puzzles in a way. So it'll be like the very first one is kill 14 enemies and you need to do it within 3 turns.
Right.
And then there's one that's like a reach area that you have to do it in 1 turn.
Right.
So you sort of end up having to do a team jump, but then also there's 2 of those, you know, those big crusher things that come at you and belt you.
Yep.
And they make you go flying.
Right.
So you basically have to shoot one of them so it comes to you and then be positioned so that when it hits you, you bounce backwards far enough that then the next person in your team can come and do a team jump and reach you. And
That's cool.
They're little things like that, that it's not just about the skill of, you know, it may be taking 12 rounds to kind of get through this. It'll take you heaps and heaps and heaps of goes, but you've just got to like kind of look around and do it in an exact way.
That's cool.
So they're really cool. And that sort of stuff, it's such a robust package too. Like, it's just like going back and do it. The temptation to go back and complete it and find everything and get the perfects on all the things is very compelling.
The integration of like the gear and leveling up and all that stuff I've found is really good. Yeah. I've with the skill stuff, I've kind of just auto-filled at this stage. It's not really something I wanted to put that much time into, but yeah, just buying the new guns and figuring all that stuff out is really
cool. Here's a hot tip
that
I got put onto.
Yes.
You can... If you're having trouble in a bit, because you can reset where the skill trees are at.
Yeah, yeah.
So reset it and then just go and beef up exactly what you think you need. If you're losing a battle heaps, you know, in a row, go back and just go, okay, I just need as much movement as possible.
Yeah, right.
So I'll reset everything and just put myself right up. And
It's weird that it allows you to do that.
Yeah.
I kind of like it though. Yeah. It's kind of cool. It works. Something I started playing last night I haven't sunk a great deal of time into is Rayman Legends, which just came out, the definitive edition on the Switch, which heard a lot about this for a long time. Always been interested and just never gotten around to going in.
It really does seem like a Tommy kind of game.
It's fucking great.
Yeah.
It's really, really great.
Nice.
Like, I play a lot of platformers, but lately more towards, just because that's what's been out, like indies and kind of retro-themed stuff.
Yeah.
And it's great to play a platformer that has a huge budget behind it.
Right.
Like, this isn't a small studio thing. Like, it's Ubisoft and it's a big production. It looks and sounds great. It's like Rayman has such a weird kind of checkered history where he like kind of big early on and then it sort of veered off into the Rabbids thing and they kind of didn't make one for ages, and this is like the second one of a series where they kind of tried to come back and, you know, kind of rebrand Rayman as just being his own thing.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing about it where it's like the character design, I still don't like the Rabbids. The character design in the Rayman games of him and all his friends is so strong that I just kind of keep going, fuck, I wish it was just like Rayman and his mates shooting guns in that game instead of these boring ass Rabbids. But it looks amazing. It looks like a little cartoon on your TV. It looks great on the small screen. I was listening to stuff about it today that it's Ubisoft have this kind of offshoot called UbiArts, which the guy who kind of created Rayman sort of he founded that, and basically it's like its own separate thing where they just have artists working on stuff, like just whatever they want. It's like make artwork, do whatever,
right?
And then it's basically so that when they have an engine that works and is good, they can transplant this stuff into it seamlessly.
Yeah.
So it's like, so they have this big art department kind of ready to go.
Right.
So it's not like developing them in tandem and sort of only having this fairy character because it needs to serve this purpose here.
Mm.
And you can sort of really see that in just all the character design and the, like, this package has you can choose between four different characters that you play as that all function the same, but they just look different and they feel kind of different. And then they each have their own costumes, which unlockable from the beginning are all the ones that they did over the course of when this game has been out on other platforms. Yeah. So you can play as Rayman dressed as one of the characters from Assassin's Creed and Splinter Cell and what else? Prince of Persia.
Fuck, this is an old game if there's Splinter Cell stuff.
Well, yeah. But it's kind of, but all that kind of stuff. And there is, you unlock eventually, like as part of the Nintendo ones, like Rayman and his little mate dressed up as Mario and Luigi. And
yeah, cool.
It does a cool thing where you come out of the first level and you just immediately unlock a bunch of stuff. Mm. So just, you know what I mean? Like the initial, which I've talked a lot of, before on the show about that feeling of like incentivized to continue playing a game where I just love that feeling of coming out of a level and watching all the coins rack up and that sound effect of a thing going, dish, 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 like you've unlocked this.
Yeah, you know what you would love?
Mm?
Gambling.
cherry, banana. But yeah, it's super tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much recommended. It came out ages ago, but yeah, it's very, very, very good.
Nice. Cool.
Well deserved.
I'm probably going to get it.
Reputation. Mm. Yeah, I think you'd like it.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
I've nearly finished Persona 5.
What?
I think I'm getting there.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, I've been sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
That fucking game is so good. I really want to see the ending of it.
It just turned up in the mail for me 2 days ago.
Yeah.
But I'm about to go away for the weekend and I didn't want to start it before.
No.
You know, so
no.
I'm going to wait. When I get back, I've got like ages.
I think it's so it literally is around 100 hours to finish
right.
it.
Yeah.
And you can't really make it not that long.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it kind of happens in real time.
Totally. Yeah.
Not
yeah.
in real time, but in a set amount of time.
Yep. Yeah. You, yes. Yes. So, you play a day and then you go to sleep and the day next, like you,
It's crazy. And there are bits of it that drag. A little bit, but I guess I'll talk about it when I finished it. But that game's fucking sick.
It's so good. Great. Yeah. Have you found it? Because I just kind of, I'll get to a bit, and the difficulty will spike, and I'll play it a bit, and I'll play it a bit, and then I'll get to my limit, and I'll be like, oh, fuck, I got to take a break.
Yeah, right.
Has that been happening at all?
Not really, because I've been making a point of fighting everything.
Yeah, okay.
So that's just what I tend to do in these sort of games because I hate reaching those points.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you go like, oh, this boss is three times as hard as I'm ready for.
Yeah.
There was one boss that kind of did that to me, but everything else has been pretty smooth sailing, but still engaging enough and like they change up what you're fighting often enough that you have to be pretty on your toes all the time.
Yeah.
And just it's basically 100 different really small mechanics.
Yes,
that
yes.
That are really disparate and don't feed together heaps, I guess, but are all really interesting and it's kind of like almost like The Sims or something like that, they got so popular because there's always something that you want to do next.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't wait because I haven't watched. It came out, I heard good things, I wanted to get it, I couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
And then I got busy with other stuff. And
fuck just, yeah, bro.
Just ordered it online and went, okay, great, I'm going in. But I haven't watched any gameplay videos. Yeah. I don't know what any of it looks like.
Yeah.
And so, expectations are high. And I got to say, if I don't love it more than anything I've ever loved before, I'm going to kick the living fuck out of both of you two for hyping it up so much.
See, the thing that I think that it's the ultimate Nox game. It's a game that I really love, and I think you might not like it.
Yeah, well,
based mostly around the actual gameplay, I think you'll love the aesthetic.
Yeah.
I think you might find it a bit tedious.
Especially
it'll be an interesting
the first
test
like
of,
10 hours of it
are
the most tedious of the whole game.
Yeah. Right.
And it is a thing where you have to kind of go, I'm going to get through this, which is a big ask.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting
and
test.
A
I mean,
flaw in that game.
I liked Animal Crossing, and you do fuck all in that. Like,
yeah I guess there
I
is
just
some
love being in that.
It's a different
world.
Sort of fuck all, though. Like, well, we'll see.
But
my
point being that there's no, the gameplay to that is, you do nothing.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah.
Like, and if you're not won over by the aesthetic, there would be literally no reason to
play. I feel like the aesthetic might be enough to grab you in because the music is fucking incredible.
Some of the best music in any game.
Yeah.
And it looks really great.
Yeah.
I think,
like, I'll say, I don't think it is a flaw, that kind of tedious stuff. I just think it's what kind of game it is.
Yeah.
And I actually do like it for that stuff, weirdly.
Yeah.
But very curious to see what you think.
Yeah, maybe not a flaw, but definitely a tripping point for some people.
Yes.
I could see how it would be a flaw from some points of view.
Yeah, that's fair.
fair?
Well, I guess
it's fair
that...
because I didn't say anything. Zero opinion.
It's fair.
I guess that brings us to the end of another episode. Now, next week we are gonna we're doing something a little special in the next week.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You'll see what that is. Next week.
Yeah.
You're looking at me very blankly, but you know what it is.
I remember now. Yeah.
So yeah, we can't say yet, but we're gonna have a bit of a skloozy here.
Yeah.
We're gonna have a. It's a world exclusive.
Yeah.
It's kind of literally a world exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty well timed as well.
This normally we would be joking.
Yeah.
No, we next week we're back with a big world exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is pretty cool that we get to do.
Fitting.
Yeah. You don't get to do it, but me and Adam do. No.
We get to play Donkey Kong 10, which was announced this morning on the it's weird that they've called it 10.
Yeah.
It's with an X as well. And I thought it was.
And Donkey Kong 8 is coming out on the same day. That's weird.
Yeah.
But
yeah, fitting thing to be able to talk about on our 100th episode.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Triple digits.
And you have kind of a story that's connected to this thing that we're doing that, I cannot wait to bring out on the air.
And as well as that stuff, we'll do some 100 episode specific things as well, probably.
Yeah.
That'll be a banger.
100 bloody episodes. Mm. Thanks for sticking by us, everyone.
Mm. We haven't quite got there yet.
Hey, this definitely won't be played at my funeral, which will happen in 4 days.
Filthycasuals.com.au for our Patreon and our premium episodes that we do. You can also find the links to our social media there. Thank you to people who email us and Twitter us and all that sort of stuff.
All of our old episodes, if you've come in recently, you can go and find every episode of the show.
Yeah, go listen to ones from 2 years ago where we're talking about what we think the NX might be.
Yeah, that would be genuinely interesting.
Thank you very much for listening, and as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Time for me to go throw up. That's a fun thing to leave on.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.